Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Nah, not quite.
What's up?
Sell my car on Carvana. It's just not quite the right time.
Crazy coincidence. I just sold my car to Carvana.
What? I told you about it 2 days ago.
When you know, you know. You know? I'm even dropping it off at one of those sweet car vending machines and getting paid today.
That's a good deal.
Oh, great deal. Come on. What's your heart saying?
You're right. When you know,
you know.
Sold.
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
1-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps to build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
And welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode.
Beatbox.
Duckling. Duckling.
You can find all of our remixes
on Spotify under someone else.
I liked your little animal input there. That was good.
When I started doing, I thought, what does that sound like? A duck. So I thought, I'll just make that the lyric, duckling.
Duckling.
Yeah, just came to mind.
Yeah, do you remember that old song that was like, all the ducks are swimming in the water? Remember that?
Yeah, it does ring a bell.
It was like a dance tune, and it was, I'm sure it was in the charts for like 3 weeks, and then I just haven't heard it since.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. Yeah. What you got for me?
Okay, spooky one today.
Oh, we like a spooky one.
Spooky one. Thought it was about time we actually did a spooky one.
Yeah, boy.
Particularly as this is based around one of the most famous photographs ever taken of a ghost.
You've tickled my teats.
I already have.
Mm.
It is, for those of you who do bother watching YouTube, and not many of you, but it is on our YouTube intro. The picture of the ghost does flash up briefly. A very famous picture of the Brown Lady of Raynham Hall.
Now, I have to ask, is she the Brown Lady due to being mixed race, or is she Brown Lady due to her clothes?
It is due to her clothes.
Ah, okay.
Apparently.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm sure that everybody listening to this will have seen the picture at some point. It is probably one of the most famous ghost pictures ever taken, right here in England. Here in East Anglia, in fact. It's Raynham Hall is in North Norfolk.
Oh.
So not too far away from where we sit currently.
Okay.
I believe the photograph was taken in the 1920s. I've been very lazy today.
Can we describe the photo for any blind listeners?
Blind listeners? Yeah, I suppose the blind listeners would benefit from a photo. from a description.
Well, they benefit from having eyes, I suppose.
Yeah. The photo. Tell you what, I'll hold the photo up and you can describe it.
Aha, yes. This is
a black and white photo.
The classic photo of a very nice staircase. And if I'm not mistaken, there's about 16 steps there. And it is a silhouette of very white woman. But then you
technically
said,
a silhouette is black, but yeah.
An opposite silhouette. and you can quite clearly see either long hair or some sort of hood. And it's slap bang in the middle of the stairs. She's not using banisters.
Nope.
It looks like she's actually floating down the stairs.
It does, yeah. A very, very sort of regal set of stairs, isn't it? You'd associate that set of stairs with a manor house, like, you know, a very grand building.
Yeah, I reckon that house is probably worth a couple mil, at least.
Yeah, it's not like the stairs in my house, I'll say that. But yeah, I would say probably made out of oak. Looks like there's a little landing in the middle there. Some very nice pictures or photos or something, very large frames alongside going up the wall by the side of the staircase. And yes, a very, very prominent figure of what appears to be a lady. Like you say, floating down the stairs, a white figure.
The banisters are hefty, almost like rich mahogany, maybe.
Yeah, it could be mahogany. Who knows? In the old days.
Yeah, I think most people would recognise that photo, if I'm honest.
Yeah, let me just forward through it. Like I say, I've been a bit lazy today because I haven't actually written down any notes. I was hoping to... print off. I put it all into a Word document. I was hoping to print it off so I didn't have to do a lot of writing. And I bought a brand new ink cartridge for the printer. And for 2 hours yesterday, I was trying to get the printer to work. And typically, you know, because it's a printer, it weren't happening. But yeah, the picture was taken in the 1920s. And yeah, it's in Raynham Hall. It was first published in Country Life magazine. Country Life magazine, yeah.
So that would be like a big old manor found in the middle of the countryside.
Yeah, it is, yeah, yeah. I'm not entirely sure who lives there currently. It is a private residence. You can't just go and... It's not like National Trust or anything like that. You can't just rock up and go and have a walk around it. Although I believe some of the grounds is sort of... You know, they don't mind too much if you go walking around the grounds. It has 700 acres, the estate is.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I think it's always been sort of like, you know, dukes and whatnot, and lords that live there, you know, people who are sort of related to the royals. So, you know, it's very... it's not exactly a modest house.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very, very nice big house. And, yeah, it's one of the more famous ghosts in England. And it was first sighted...
You've done a Josh and got your notes.
I have, yeah, yeah. Sighted, I believe, in 1835.
At
a Christmas party.
So the photo was in 1920... But
it was in the 1926, I think.
But actually seen...
It was first seen in 1835 by Lucia Stone.
Oh, that's a
who
cool name.
Was at a Christmas party. I believe the Christmas party was sort of, you know, one of these grand affairs lasting several days, you know, where the lords and ladies get together and they have big lunches and, you know, lots of gin and brandy and cigars and all that sort of thing.
Chandeliers and vol-au-vents.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And a complete different way of life to what we experience in our sort of humble life. But yeah, yeah, it was 1835, massive Christmas party, and Lucia Stone was one of the guests there, and she was obviously going to bed one evening. Most of these sightings happen in the evening, as it always happens, doesn't it? And yeah, she said that she had seen a brown lady, a lady wearing a brown dress, and likened her to a painting that hung in one of the bedrooms.
Oh.
The painting is of Dorothy Walpole, who was the wife of a Viscount.
Okay.
I believe. She was alive from 1686 to 1726. So quite a lot earlier than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the one, well, I don't say the one, there was two really stark identifying factors that Lucia came out with, saying that the lady obviously had the brown dress
mm-hmm.
and no eyes in her sockets.
No.
Very dark. I thought I'd surprise you with that one.
Oh, the worst kind of ghost. Oh.
Yeah, like literally, I mean, imagine that staring at you. Well, is it staring at you? That's the thing, isn't it? And they've got no eyes and just dark holes where the eyes should be.
Oh, I wonder if there's a backstory. Maybe she lost her eyes.
Not according to the legend.
Ah.
No, I'm afraid. I'll get to what actually happened to Dorothy.
Just quick,
Walpole.
Though, what is worse in your opinion? Like, what's creepier? No eyes in the sockets or all white eyes?
Ooh.
Because I find them equally as disturbing.
Yeah, they
disturbing.
Are quite. Both are quite creepy, aren't they?
Mm.
I think probably no eyes is probably the slightly creepier of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, white eyes, at least they've got eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, Dorothy Walpole. I'll tell you what, we might as well dive into who Dorothy Walpole was.
Go for it. I've never met anyone where their last name is a tongue twister in itself.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? She was the sister of Robert Walpole, who was generally regarded as the first Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Oh, the Prime Minister.
Prime Minister, yeah. She was the second wife of Charles Townsend, who was a Viscount. One of the two, a Viscount. And apparently he was notorious for like being a drunkard, having a bit of a violent temper.
Right.
And he apparently discovered that she had an affair with one Lord Wharton.
This is getting juicy.
Yeah. And so the Viscount locked her into her chambers for her, literally her final years, and that is where she died eventually of smallpox, having, you know, a very miserable existence from there on in.
And when they say chambers, that's like just a room, isn't it? It's not like a prison
cell.
In a
room sort of thing.
Yeah, I've got you.
The ladies' chambers. Mm. I would imagine, you know, because I think like in sort of upper class society, they would have their little their roll top bath in there, wouldn't they? And you know, they'd have their bath in their chambers and stuff, rather than having a separate bathroom with running water and all that sort of thing. The ladies' chambers would be, you know, with a dressing room and all that sort of thing, and probably a four poster bed, and you know, life of luxury really. But you know, since she was locked in there, probably not so much luxury.
Mm.
Although, not bad surroundings if you're going to get locked away. It's, you know, I can think of worse places to be.
Smallpox, though, what a way to go.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about how she actually contracted smallpox.
Oh.
So I don't know about that one. Mm. But yeah, I mean, that's where she died. And yeah, apparently pretty much 100 years later was the first sighting of, or at least reported sighting of a ghost at that Christmas party in 1835.
I mean, that is a good way, like a good origin story for a ghost, for a place to be haunted. You know, you get locked away, you get smallpox, you've had an affair, there's unrest there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There is unrest. The next reported sighting of the Brown Lady was made by Captain Frederick Marriott. Literally the next year, in 1836.
With a name he has to be an owner of a boat of some sort.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Now, he was actually the author of a series of popular sea novels. So I would imagine that he was probably a captain in the Navy.
Okay, all right.
He was a good friend of Charles Dickens.
Oh, Charles Dickens.
The Charles Dickens. So, you know, he moved in some good circles. He knew people.
Big up the Dickens, bruv.
Yeah. Mm. And he actually, it's quite interesting, because he heard about the sighting of the ghost or at the Christmas party. He might have even been at the Christmas party the previous year.
Fair enough.
And wanted to test it out for himself. He was like, no, I want to see this ghost for myself. So whether it was through an invite or whether he just invited himself, but yeah, he decided to actually go there, visit the place, and he spent 3 nights in the house, in the hall, in the hope that he would actually see something. And by all accounts, he did.
Mm.
Although he didn't actually make like a written account of it, but apparently his daughter, Florence Marriott, did.
Oh.
And I have the written account here. So
yes.
She'll read that.
Yes.
And she says, he took possession of the room in which the portrait of the apparition hung, and in which she had been often seen, and slept each night with a loaded revolver under his pillow. For 2 days, however, he saw nothing, and the third was to be the limit of his stay. On the third night, however, two young men, nephews of the baronet, knocked at his door as he was undressing to go to bed, and asked him to step over to their room, which was at the other end of the corridor. Now, just to give you an idea, seen pictures of this house, massive house, big boxy mansion.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that that corridor, the upper corridors, runs pretty much the entire length of the house.
Yeah, I would bet so too.
We're probably talking like 100 yards here.
Yeah.
It's a long old corridor.
Like a basketball court.
Yeah. Probably 3 or 4 basketball courts, I'd say. But yeah, they wanted him to step over to their room, which is at the other end of the corridor, and give them his opinion on a new gun that had just arrived from London.
Okay.
He said, my father was in his shirt and trousers, hardly a way for a man to be dressed in those days.
Shirt and trousers.
But as the hour was late and everybody had retired to rest except themselves, he prepared to accompany them as he was. Literally just, you know, almost getting ready for bed. As they were leaving the room, he caught up his revolver. In case you meet the brown lady, he said, laughing. When the inspection of the gun was over, the young men in the same spirit declared they would accompany my father back again. In case you meet the brown lady, they laughed. The three gentlemen therefore returned in company. The corridor was long and dark, for the lights had been extinguished. But as they reached the middle of it, they saw the glimmer of a lamp coming towards them from the other end. One of the ladies going to visit the nurseries, whispered the young Townsends to my father. Now, the bedroom doors in that corridor were like old-fashioned. It was like a double doors, and they faced each other. But as the case in quite a lot of old houses, it wasn't just one door entering the room. You'd have like a set of doors and a little antechamber and then another doors going into the room. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We got that at the local sports centre.
Yeah. So, and as is the case in many old-fashioned houses, as she writes, my father, as I have said, was in a shirt and trousers only, and his native modesty made him feel uncomfortable. So he slipped within one of the outer doors. His friends followed his example in order to conceal himself until the lady should have passed by. Yeah, still thinking that this is just a servant maid or something like that, you know?
So they can all see her at this point?
Well, they can see a lamp coming, yeah, with basically the figure of someone coming towards them, assuming that it's night staff, you know, one of the help. I've heard him describe how he watched her approaching nearer and nearer through the chink of the door until, as she was close enough for him to distinguish the colours and style of her costume, he recognised the figure as the facsimile of the portrait of the brown lady. He had his finger on the trigger of his revolver and was about to demand it to stop and give the reason for its presence there when the figure halted of its own accord before the door in which he stood, and, holding the lighted lamp she carried to her features, grinned in a malicious and diabolical manner at him. This act so infuriated my father, who was anything but lamb-like in disposition, that he sprang into the corridor with a bound and discharged the revolver right in her face. The figurelet instantly disappeared. The figure at which for several minutes three men had been looking together, and the bullet passed through the outer door of the room opposite side of the corridor and lodged in the panel of the inner one. My father never attempted again to interfere with the Brown Lady of Raynham.
I was thinking, when there was a lot of talk of revolvers, what is that going to do to a ghost?
Yeah, I've often wondered that myself. And one of the things is, it doesn't say where the other two lads disappeared to, whether they accompanied him into that same antechamber. I would imagine that they would have gone into the antechamber on the opposite side. So he was very lucky that he didn't shoot them.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And by that account, it sounded like she was kind of evil. The expression on her face.
Apparently, well, that's his description. Mm. But obviously, a man who's, well, it says she said he's not lamb-like. He's obviously quite a brave man, but obviously faced with that sort of thing, you're gonna S yourself, aren't you?
Yeah.
A little bit. Mm. And one might embellish the story a little bit as well if you're a little bit scared, I would imagine.
Okay, and that was the last actual known sighting of...
Up until 1926, yes. Lady Townsend reported that the Brown Lady was next seen in 1926 when her son and his friends claimed to have seen the ghost on the staircase, identifying the ghostly figure with the portrait of the Lady Dorothy Walpole, which then hung in the haunted room. So I think a lot of people had experienced, like, you know, maybe bumps in the night, that sort of thing, in the room where the portrait hung for, you know, many years. I think that had come to be known as the haunted room. In fact, like, if you look on YouTube at, like, lists of, like, the top, like, 10 most haunted houses in the world and stuff like that, this one quite often comes up because of that photograph. Which obviously, I'm not sure if I'm right here, but I can't think of a photograph of a ghost, or claimed to be of a ghost, earlier than that one, that's older than that photograph. I think that is the OG ghost photograph.
Oh, to be fair, I've seen like very, very old pictures of like family portraits, and then there's just like a smoky arm on someone's shoulder and stuff. But full apparition ghost, I think you're right. I've not seen anything of a full apparition like that, like as old as that.
No, not until recent years. I'll cover that in a little while. I was actually wrong at the start. It wasn't the 1926, it was 1936 that the photo was taken.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, my
and
bad.
And also...
it was because of the sighting in 1926 that I'd got confused.
Is it the chambers that is the most haunted room?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, the ladies' chambers.
Makes sense.
So, the way that the photograph was taken was on September the 19th of 1936 by one Captain Hubert C. Provand, a London-based photographer who actually worked for Country Life magazine. He and his assistant, Indre Shearer, had visited Raynham Hall so that they could take some photographs of the place for just an article, you know, Country Life, and you know, just taking pictures of the place. They've obviously written a piece on the manor house and the grounds, and because, I mean, it is a 700-acre estate, you know, it's a big old estate. And they claimed that they had already taken a photograph of the hall's main staircase and were setting up to take a second photo when Shearer, the assistant, claimed that he saw, and I quote, a vapoury form of gradually... A vapoury form gradually assuming the appearance of a woman moving down the stairs towards them. Under Shearer's direction, Provand, the main photographer, quickly took the cap off the lens Well, Shearer pressed the trigger to activate the flash. You know, in those old-fashioned cameras, it's just like a box with a cloth on the back. That they have to get underneath, yeah, and that light, and the flash goes poof, and this smoke comes out, and all that sort of thing. That's the kind of camera that this was taken on. He claimed that he'd seen the figure, and as soon as he pressed the button to make the flash, she disappeared.
Interesting.
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts, who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions, and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
And, yeah, I mean, that is it. It got published in Country Life magazine. It's been published so many times since then in many news articles and whatnot. It wasn't long after. Now, do you remember when we did Bawley Rectory? Do you remember Harry Price or Pebble Flicking Price?
Oh, Pebble Pocket Price, yeah.
He loved the photo. And, and he said, "I will say at once, I was impressed. I was told a perfectly simple story. Mr. Andre Shearer saw the apparition descending the stairs in the precise moment when Captain Proven's head was under the black cloth. A shout and the cap was off and the flashbulb fired, with the results that we now see. I could not shake their story and I had no right to disbelieve them. Only collusion between the two men would account for the ghost if it is a fake. The negative is entirely innocent of any faking."
Okay.
That was his belief.
It's tough coming from him, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I have dug into this a little more, and there have been some critical assessments of the photo.
Here we go, we're off to the races now.
Here we go. So, I mean, when you saw the photo for the first time, what did you do? You think it looked genuine, or do you think there's probably some tomfoolery there?
To be honest, it looked quite old school, like an old photo. Yeah. So I wouldn't have any reason to believe it is a hoax. I don't know if anyone could look at that and say straight away, like, no, that's fake, because photography nowadays is obviously a lot better, and it looked quite convincing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I will say, though, one of my first thoughts as well was it looked a little bit Virgin Mary-ish.
Oh, now that's interesting. Okay. Hold on to that thought.
Okay.
Right, here's some ways that it could have been faked.
Mm.
Right? One of the first ideas was literally a greasy fingerprint on the lens.
Definitely not that. There's no way.
I don't think that either. No. I think there's too much shape to it, you know. There's too much sort of definition.
100%,
you can see sort of like folds in the cloth and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You can see that it's a figure wearing a dress. But this did open up other critics to think about how else it could be done. And even back in the days with those old school cameras, people maybe started to figure out that there's double exposures that can produce some false effects, you know. So one of the proposals was that one of the men literally threw like a bed sheet over his head. Right. So after the first, they'd taken one exposure of the staircase and then took another exposure of it with the guy stood there with the, you know, dressed in a bed sheet or some kind of cloth over the top of him, so that when the second exposure goes on, all the stairs and everything looks nice and bold and, you know, as it should do, but the figure comes out opaque, you know, so you can see it kind of translucent.
Yeah, but then they would have had to crop out the feet and things and make it look like it's hovering.
Not necessarily. You've just got to drape the cloth in front of you where you are, don't you, to give that effect.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
What other options have you got for me?
Okay, another one actually that is quite popular is, now you said it looks quite Virgin Mary-ish, and that is exactly what someone has proposed, is those popular statues of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah, yeah.
With, you know, the hood and, you know, the praying hands. If you look very carefully at that photo, you can almost see hands in that sort of praying position, and some people claim, I personally don't see it myself, but some people claim that you can kind of see like the plate at the bottom of the Virgin Mary statue.
Okay.
That she kneels on or stands on, and they say that again with a double exposure and a Virgin Mary statue, you could get quite a convincing replica of that photo, or you could fake it.
Yeah. See, that one to me is the more likely one.
Yeah. Another person, a magician, John Booth.
I mean, their whole careers are lying. So, yeah, carry on.
Yeah, but he said the photograph could easily be duplicated by naturalistic methods. Booth had an assistant or someone, Ron Wilson, cover himself in a bedsheet and descend a grand staircase at the Magic Castle in Hollywood, and the faked ghost image looked very similar to the Raynham Hall photograph.
Okay. Well, now I don't know what to believe.
So, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much all I've got on that. It's now down to how much do you believe it? Because, I mean, we've had sightings of the apparition. There is written, documented stories of the apparition. Many people throughout history claim to have seen it. Amongst other ghosts, that one is just the most popular one and the only one to have been photographed, per se. So I guess I always thought it was quite a convincing photograph. When I was little, I remember being at school. I can't remember what age I was, maybe 7 or 8 years old or something, and I remember the teacher holding up this photograph of a ghost and saying, oh, this is like the first photograph ever taken of a ghost sort of thing, and, you know, it might have been near Halloween or something, and I remember looking at that photograph and thinking, wow, you know, how on earth can somebody catch a photograph of that, and why is this so rare, you know, and why is that one such a good photograph, and all this sort of thing.
Yeah, and,
but also, I'd like to compare that one to, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast before, a photograph of the Ghost of Wem.
Is it the one that is actually like a silhouette where it's like black?
Near a pew? No.
Near a pew in a church?
No. This was is a little town over in Shropshire where I come from.
Oh, yeah.
But a little bit further north. There was, I think this was like back in the mid to late 90s.
I'm thinking.
And I remember it happening.
Hmm.
And if I can just pull it up.
Oh, yeah. You remember happening at real time?
Yeah, right? I remember it happening. Now, what happened? I'm not sure what the building was. It might have been an old orphanage or something that had closed down. Sorry, microphone. Hasn't happened for a while. Right, and what happened was, yeah, back in the 90s, it caught fire.
Oh,
and
no.
A local photographer went out just to take pictures of the building burning, obviously, you know, for whatever reason. I think he worked for, like, the local paper, the Shropshire Star.
Mm-hmm.
And when they developed...
Oh, you're going to show me a ghost child. I know it.
That is pretty convincing.
Oh, no, I don't like that at all. I've got instant goosebumps there. I don't like that.
You at home, if you've not seen this image, literally just put into Google the Ghost of Wem, W-E-M, and you will see a picture of a building with railings, and there's an open door, and it's still on fire in the background, and there is an apparition of a young girl stood at the door.
See, that's more convincing than the other
and the,
one.
The photographer didn't see the girl when he took the photo. He was literally just taking pictures of the building. It wasn't until he got them developed and, you know, wanted to publish it that somebody realised that the girl was there, and then the story just changed completely. I think it even hit national headlines back in the 90s. Now, that is what I consider a really, really convincing ghost picture.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Whereas the Brown Lady, now I look at that, compared to the Ghost of Wem. Mm.
See, the, with the Ghost of Wem as well, it's more subtle in the background. Whereas the
I mean, that
one,
that picture that I just showed you there is just a small picture of of a much bigger picture,
which makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one is like boom, right there in the middle of the camera.
Yeah, right in the middle. No, this was just like a little bit on the side of the picture that they actually cropped it into and zoomed into to actually see that little girl stood at the top of a fire escape.
I didn't like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Ghost of Wem, I'm giving a 9.
Oh, funny today's pod was about that.
Well, I couldn't fill up 40 minutes on the Ghost of Wem because that's literally the whole story.
Yeah, that's easily a 9.
So what about the Brown Lady?
The Brown Lady. Oh, man, that's a difficult one because I'd seen the picture before as well, so I was always under the impression that was real. But then when I looked at it in detail, I did think Virgin Mary, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
And then with your explanation of the double exposure, but then I liked the actual story of, like, no eyes. And
But then when I look at the picture of it, I'm not seeing any, like, dark recesses where the eyes should be or anything that confirms to me that there are no eyes. And, in fact, you can't even tell that it's a brown dress that she's wearing. It's a black and white photo and she looks white.
I mean I don't want to offend you. I'm gonna give it a 5.9.
yeah in fairness, that's probably a fairly good score. I'm gonna give it a 6.5.
Wow, I thought you were going to say 2.
I'm going to go a little bit higher just because it was the first photograph that I ever saw of a ghost that really captured my interest, in the subject and in the paranormal and that. And it is a classic image, a classic tale of a haunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the house is still there. I mean, if we were allowed in it, we could go and investigate. I don't know if they actually have... like investigations go on there. I don't know if Most Haunted or, you know, any of the other paranormal teams have ever been invited there or let into the place to actually research it. But, you know, it's one of the OG ghost footage, you know, photographs ever of all time. So I've got to give it a little bit higher. But at the same time, I've got to take into account, yes, it probably is very easy to recreate. Double exposures, statue of Virgin Mary, something like that. Although I don't know how they'd suspend that Virgin Mary. Because the Virgin Mary statue is usually only, like, what, 18 inches tall? Something like that? They're not... I mean, you know, if it was a full-size one, that's a hefty piece of kit to be lugging up halfway up a flight of stairs and balancing there while you take a photo. It's more likely to be one of those smaller ones that you see on an altar or something. And then they've got to dangle it there or something like that.
I see what you're saying.
There's no Photoshop back in those days.
The damage has been done. I can't see any other way. No. I do think it's a hoax now. You've given me 3 examples or 4 examples of how it could be a hoax. And then there's not much... I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to stick with 5.9. I just don't.
Okay.
It's even like... we spoke about it briefly earlier, but I'm a bit hesitant to move into my new house because I've been told by a few people that that's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I've forgotten more stories about the house that you're moving into than I can actually remember. But one of the previous occupants of your house, while we weren't working together, although we were still working on the same farm, I was working with the guy that used to live in the house that you're about to move into. And he not regularly, but I'd say over the 3 years that we were working together, he probably told me 8 or 10 different times where things had happened in the house. Mostly his kids picking up on things.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're more susceptible, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, by the way, that would give us an average of 6.2, wouldn't it? So, yeah, no, but yeah, your house, the one that you're going to be moving into, I'm looking forward to seeing some or hearing some stories about what happens to you, because obviously you're quite sceptical, or on the fence at least.
Yeah, I think I might actually get my wish of seeing something or what.
The guy, some kind of proof.
The guy that's just moved out that we get on quite well with, and I've been speaking to him and I've been asking him all sorts of questions. He said he's personally never seen anything with his own eyes, but he has heard a few things.
Yeah.
His girlfriend felt a touch and she turned cold. The dogs will just randomly stare at a certain doorway.
And growl. Now, that's quite compelling to me.
That is.
Is that the lounge doorway, by any
chance? Yeah, I thought it might be. So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued because it's an old house, so there could be reasons for it.
From memory, and the man in question can feel free to pick me up on this if I'm wrong, but I'm sure he told me, the previous occupant, I'm not going to name him just in case he doesn't want to be named, I'm sure he told me that only one time he woke up in the middle of the night and could see a dark figure at the doorway of the bedroom that just sort of wisped into nothing. You know, he was looking at it 1 minute thinking, what the hell's that? And then he took his eyes off it and looked back and it wasn't there.
I'm okay with a mild haunting. Honestly.
I don't think there'd be anything malicious that was going to hurt you there.
No. And
but it might confirm things for you.
I would like to live peacefully with the said ghost. I think it's a man, isn't it? That's what we've been told.
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah, the kids would often be like jibber jabber in a way, la 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 la, and he'd turn to him and say, "Who are you talking to?" And the little girl would go, "Oh, the man." What man? And she'd turn around and then turn back to him and go, "Oh, he's gone now."
See,
and there was no one there to start with.
I'm willing to live peacefully amongst the ghosts.
Unless you have your own kid and you start getting these.
Well, this is the thing I'm going to test. So by the time we move in, I'm hoping within the year, my little nephew will be talking.
Right.
That would be one sign, because obviously we're going to invite them over and stuff. Yeah. So if he starts randomly jibber jabber into himself and pointing and things, that'll be one sign.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I'm going to have to get a dog now just to see if the dog picks up on anything. But I'm open to it. This is the thing I've always said. I'm 50-50 on ghosts. Unless I experience something myself, I'm still just going to be on that fence or be more inclined to not believe
now
it.
Now you're moving to somewhere where that might happen and you actually know it might happen.
Yes.
So you're going to be more open to actually be receptive to these things and the possibility of it. Because, I mean, bumps and bangs and stuff like that, there's a lot of other influences that can do that sort of thing. You know, houses heat up and cool down and they make lots of noises, pipes bang and rattle and stuff like that. So bumps and bangs, not so much, but, you know, cold shivers, you know, feeling like you've been spooked by something, you know, particularly, pets reacting to things, children reacting to things. These are a good, solid sign. So I hope you do see something or experience something.
We were there last weekend for the first time. I got given the keys to have a look round and we were, you know, usual thing, measuring cupboard sizes and things and just getting things in order.
Oh, for the people at home, this is an old farmhouse. I'd say at least Victorian for that's part of the farm that we work on. Josh has finally managed to get himself one of the houses.
So it is a very old house. So it's very possible.
It's got a history.
But we were there.
And it's next to a field called Skeleton.
Yeah. So, I mean, all signs are pointing to yes, it's haunted.
It's got to be called Skeleton for a reason.
I mean, there's still that seed of doubt until I see it with my own eyes, Pirate. I'm still not convinced. But we were there at the weekend, And I can be completely honest, I didn't have a sense of like haunting or anything.
No, you won't do, not all the time.
I didn't get any bad juju vibes, nothing like that. But I, at one point, now I don't know if it was because the whole time I was there, I wasn't really thinking about the fact that it was haunted. I was just looking at things being like, oh yeah, I can't believe we get to move in here. It wasn't until I was turning all the lights out to leave that there was that kind of realization of like, oh yeah, this place is meant to be haunted. But it was just a little, do you know what I mean? But I didn't actually feel anything. But okay. I don't know. I've heard a few stories, so we'll have to check it out. We can actually
We'll update on
this. Yeah, we'll keep updated.
We'll update on Josh's haunting.
Yeah, yeah, my new haunted house. But I'll tell you what, I'm quite happy to fight some ghosts or to live peacefully among them, either way.
Yeah,
whichever
you'll
route.
Be fine, mate. You'll be, yeah, I've lived in loads of haunted houses. It's fine.
Yeah,
apart,
yeah,
from the odd little happening here and there, they just want you to know that they're there half the time. That's all it is.
There's only going to be trouble if he pushes my Lego collection off the shelf and I have to rebuild my Lego.
Yeah, that would. Yeah,
that's going to cause some issues. Kick you off, wouldn't, yeah, it? Yeah. Apart, yeah, from that, I think I'll be all right.
Okay,
I'll keep you updated anyway.
Oh, in other news, just before we finish, because we are pretty much at the end now, the third bandana has been claimed. Keith, you know who you are. He's a big fan of the podcast. He's been listening to one of our listeners pretty much from the start. He's a member of our Discord. I have sent him an email. He hasn't responded yet. But to claim his bandana, he just needs to give me his address. So I know where to send it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's three down, seven left to go. If you want your own Paranormality UK bandana, there's only 13 in existence, and I have two of them for my own personal use. One was a test piece that I gave away, and the other three are now claimed as Patreons. If you want one for yourself, go and join our Patreon. It would mean the world to us. And that is our call to action this week. And, you know, it comes with other benefits. We have actually got to do a couple more extra bits for Patreon, because we've kind of left that for a couple of months, haven't we? We haven't done anything.
Yeah, I haven't done anything on Discord for months either.
No.
I forget it exists, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If I'm being completely honest, as I'm getting older, I'm really getting put off by social media, if I'm being honest, which doesn't really work for what we're trying to do. But,
no.
But I'm just being completely honest, putting all my cards on the table. And I think there are people out there listening to this.
To be honest, I'm
agree.
Kind of the same ever since. Like, I haven't even got Facebook anymore, obviously, yeah, from last year and that, when I got hacked and that. And yeah, I'm not interested in setting up my own personal. But for the podcast, I'd do it. And, I'd like to try and stay up to date with that sort
it's,
of thing.
I just get so upset when I see people just living their lives and then you read comments or you see comments and people are just pooing all over them or just being negative and being trolls, and I just think, is that what the world's come to? Like, you're trying to give positive, happy things, just do your own thing, try and cause it like entertainment, and it doesn't matter what you try and do, there's always someone out there who's either a bully or a troll. And I just think we're better than that, people.
We
and
are.
It puts me off social media.
We are.
So that's all I'm saying.
That doesn't mean you can't carry on following us and being a bit of a fan of the podcast. Anyway, until next time, I have been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
One-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.